So today I want to talk about what's the best way to describe this? How to get the flow of God's power and love coming into your life and flowing out of your life. Right? That's what I want to talk about. So in other words, how can you experience that thing of where you actually pray and you see things happen? How can you experience where suddenly you're being used by God to do amazing things? How is that possible? Well, it's about the flow of God's love and power, okay? And it's about understanding that we are first blessed to become the blessing, okay? And we're going to get to, I'll explain what that means in a minute. But basically, there's lots and lots of people who think, and this is why it's really important, there's lots and lots of people who think that the Christian life is actually all about trying to just do the right thing, be the right person, act in the right way, say the right stuff, and then maybe if you do enough of that, then somehow God will bless you. Somehow God will sort of say, yes, that's enough. Well done. You know, now I love you. Now you've done enough. And that's wrong. That is so wrong. But that's still the stuff that people get taught all over the place in Scotland. It's still, you know, people still have this thing in their heads that's sort of like, it's about what I do. It's about what I can, you know, it's about how I live. And it's about, and if only I do this bit more and I can, then, you know, then God will be happy with me, or God will love me, or God will use me. Rubbish. Absolute nonsense. It's not about that. It's completely wrong. That is completely wrong thinking. This is how it works. God loves you. He adopts you into his family. He blesses you and takes you to himself. And he releases his love into your life in such a way that it so overwhelms your life that the overflow of his love then touches other people's lives. And it's not about having to work up the effort. It's not about having to do your very best. It's actually about focusing instead of him and the relationship and allowing that love to become like a well that flows back out the way. It's like a kind of a spring that bursts out of your life. And it's actually the overflow of the love of God which actually leads us into seeing people's lives changed. And that's how the thing works. It's not the other way around. It's not this thing of, if only I'm good enough, if only I study hard enough, if only I pray long enough, if only da-da-da-da, whatever it is, then maybe what will happen is that God will actually kind of use me. Maybe my prayer might be enough. Maybe I'll be bold enough to tell people about my story about Jesus. Maybe I'll tell them a story about Brian, whose hair grew back. Maybe I'll do that. And maybe someone might respond. Do you see what I'm saying? That is the wrong way. That is the wrong way to think. It's not true. It's not biblical. It's not how it works. The way that it works is that the love of God, the power of God, flows into our life. And if we allow it then to flow out, then what happens is that a stream of love and power keeps filling us and keeps going out. That's the way it works. It's supposed to be a living stream. That's how it's supposed to work. The power of God, the love of God, touching our life, changing our life, making our life something that actually we can confidently say, look at what God has done in my life. You know, look at what God has done amongst us. And then, as that happens, things move on. I want to tell you, first of all, about just how this works in practical ways, because that might all sound very spiritual, right? I might all go, well, that sounds good, Alan, but I have no idea what you're talking about. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about simple acts of kindness. Simple acts of kindness. There was a girl called Anna, that's not her real name. She came to Food Bank a number of years ago, and I remember walking around the store with her. And if you've been in the store in the Food Bank, she basically kind of kept on going and looking for the pot noodles. And I know that she had kids and stuff, so she had quite a lot of points that she had to use. And so she was kind of like filling her bag with pot noodles. And I'm thinking, you get wings, why not? So I said, why don't you try pasta and some of this pasta sauce? And she said, I don't know how to do that. And I went, what do you mean you don't know how to do that? And she went, no, I don't know how. How do you make pasta? And I went, you put it in a pot and you put water in, put some salt in, you boil it for maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then when it's soft, you can add the sauce in and stir it all up. That's how you make pasta and sauce. And she said, I've never heard that explained before. Never heard that explained before. Nobody's ever shown me that. My mum never cooked. The family never cooked. We always bought stuff from the shops, you know, pot noodles. So I've never actually kind of done that before. And I said, well, you know, it's actually pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. This is the way that you do it. And she sort of said, no, I don't think I'd be able to do that. And I said to her, well, okay, well, let's sort of see whether or not we can kind of show you. And I remember kind of taking her through into the kitchen, and I actually took the stuff and I kind of took her to the kitchen, and I went, right, this is how you do it. So I got the pot out, turned the thing on, put some water in, did the thing, pasta, and then you leave it for about 10, 15 minutes. Let's go and do something else. So I came back, and then the sauce. So I made something. I just showed her what it was. And she went, that's amazing. It was almost like a kind of like, you know, Gordon Ramsay, you know, hello. Yes, you can have my specialty, pasta and sauce. So like, but it was like a really sort of simple thing. Now, and I know that kind of might surprise some of us. Some of us it's not, because actually some of us that might be what we're at as well. But for her that was like a kind of, you know, that was a huge thing. And for anyone to actually, and the thing was, it was almost like at the end of it, when I sort of showed her what it was and we actually ate some of it, she was like, you know, this is the most amazing thing ever. You know, I'm thinking, no, this is not the most amazing thing ever, but okay, it's the most amazing thing ever. And actually, she went out of the place and she took all the pot noodles out of her bag and she put in pasta sauce and one or two other things that I'd sort of said, you know, sort of hot dogs, slice them up, put them in. Brilliant. So, you know, so she took all that kind of stuff with her. And actually, you know, there were other things that happened with her as well. Some of you, you know, were involved in working with her. And, you know, so we had folks go and visit the family and supported the kids and you helped them with reading and various other things. And there was actually a problem to do with our fridge. She couldn't get our fridge to work and somebody had an old fridge, so we swapped the fridges. And in one sense, it's like, these are really simple things, aren't they? But these are some simple things that demonstrate the goodness of God. That is what that girl got from that experience. You know, she talked about how amazing that nobody had ever actually taken time to do this for her. I'm not talking that. See, when I talk about the flow of kindness and goodness and love and power into people's lives, I'm not talking about rocket science here. I'm talking about taking time to show someone how to make pasta sauce. You know? We're not talking about rocket science here. But we are talking about intentionally being a blessed person who can therefore be a blessing to others. Let's read the scriptures together. So when we think about God's love and ours, we think about this from 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. And then in Romans 15 it says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we are full of God's love and power, we overflow. It overflows. It's not meant to be worked up. It's meant to be an overflow of these things. And so what we want to sort of say today is this is such a simple message, but it's so fundamentally important. It's just such a big message to get. We are supposed to be blessed so that we would be a blessing. It is the overflow, as I say, of God's love in our life that allows us to be a blessing to others. It's not supposed to be us mustering up our best efforts. And here's the thing, only when we know that we are loved children of God, adopted into his family, only then do we live and minister from that place of knowing our identity as sons and daughters. What does that mean? In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says this, that he puts his Holy Spirit into us, and that same Spirit causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit of adoption. It's when we are adopted into the Father's family. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we become his children. We become the Father's children, sons and daughters, and we know who we are. And see when you know who you are, see when you know that you actually are part of the family, see when you know that you're the son and the daughter of the King of Kings, you know, everything changes, because suddenly your identity isn't, oh, this is who I was, this is how other people see me, this is what achievements I've got, this is what I earn. None of that matters, because that's all false. These are false foundations for life. Instead, we have the foundation of, I am a son of the King of Kings. I am a daughter of the King of Kings. And nothing can change that. Nothing can change that. And so I confidently step into the future, knowing that I am here on this earth for a reason. I am here on this earth. You are here on this earth for a reason. And actually, if we can understand that, then what happens is we can begin to see how to actually flow out of these things. So our security, as it says there, is rooted in our identity as a children of God, meaning that we don't need to look for affirmation for others. We don't need to be undermined by their criticism and so on. We have a sustainable, life-giving, joyful ministry that flows from that reality. And so we are loved because we love because we are loved. We bless because we are blessed. We overflow not out of duty, but out of that understanding. And here's the choice that we have to make. The choice is this. It's possible to receive the blessings of God, but not to give them away. It is possible to function as a Christian in church and just simply tick, 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 and not give anything out. And what that does is the difference between the Red Sea and the Dead Sea. The Red Sea is a living sea. It's actually, it's full of fish and all sorts of things. And it's because it has an input and an outflow, right? But the Dead Sea, which it flows into, doesn't have an outflow. It just receives. And so it's dead. It doesn't have anything in it. It's just full of salt and, you know, and so on. It's not a living sea as such. And that's because it doesn't have an outflow. And that's the difference between, you know, the two types of Christians you can be. You can be a Dead Sea Christian, where basically it's just like, receive, 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 and it lands, and you hold it, but it doesn't actually go anywhere, and it doesn't actually help you. Or you can be a Red Sea Christian, where it flows in, and it flows back out again, and life comes as a result of that. And that's a choice that we have to make. That's a choice that we have to make today, as to what kind of Christian we're going to be. If we're going to be people who are truly those who are going to be blessed to be a blessing. We want to create a culture of blessing within White Inch and within the churches that we're part of. And so one of the most useful things that we've ever come across as part of that is this book by Steve Shogren called Conspiracy of Kindness. And what it does is it's about setting a culture which basically says, we are going to do exactly that. We're going to be Red Sea Christians. We're going to be people who allow the flow of God, the love of God to bless us so that we would be a blessing. And the book's full of amazing, funny stories about what I would describe as random acts of kindness. And I've talked about some simple things already, but, you know, it's simple things. Like this week, you know, I was walking my dog at night. We just go to the end of the road and back again. It was about 11:30, and I walked past one of the cars in our road, and its internal light was on. And it had just been left. And obviously, someone had put the light on, closed the door, locked the car, gone in. And if you do that, next morning, you know what happens. Flat as a pancake, can't get the car to work. So at 11:30, I'm walking this dog, and I'm thinking, I think I know which house that car belongs to, but I'm not 100% sure. And so at that moment, I thought, it would be a lot easier just to go home and go to bed now and just take the dog and go and put... But then I kind of thought about it and I thought, no, you know, come on, simple things. Let's just get on with this. So I went and chapped the door. And the guy's door that I chapped is actually a policeman, and he's really grumpy all the time, almost. And so at 11:30, I'm dinging his bell, waking him up, bringing him down. The dog's barking, all this kind of nonsense. Not my dog, lovely dog. Cora was not barking. His huge, great big thing that he had in the house was barking. So anyway, he comes to the door, and I kind of hello, that car there that's light is still on. And he went, aye, that's my car. Thank you very much. Slammed the door again. And I went away, and that was it. And I might seem, you might kind of look, well, that was nothing, wasn't it? But actually, no, it wasn't. It was a simple choice. These things are not complicated, but actually, they're just, you can walk past them any second of every day. It's not complicated. These are not difficult things that we're talking about. You know, when you know that your neighbour hasn't been able to get out and needs a bag of shopping, it's not difficult to sort of say, we're just going to get a few more things, and then when we get around, we're going shopping, we'll take something else. It's not difficult, but it is a choice, and it does make a difference. Why? Because what we do as we do that is we are demonstrating the love of God in tangible ways to the people that we are actually wanting to witness to. We're showing that it actually is true and it works before we ever say a word to them. And that's what we're trying to do. And so we're trying to demonstrate the love of God before we explain the love of God. We did that. You know the sort of free hugs thing that we've done at different times. And that's exactly what that is. It's trying to demonstrate to people what the love of God is. So you stand with a big sign up in Tucky Hall Street or wherever you happen to go, and you kind of free hugs. I actually saw a sign recently that made me laugh, which was, there was a guy who held one up that kind of went, free hugs. Like, yeah. And then there was a guy over here that had one that said, premium hugs, £2. And I just thought, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. Anyway, free hugs in Sucky Hall Street. So free hugs in Sucky Hall Street. It's just, you hold the thing up and then people kind of come and they give you a hug and you kind of go, and then they'll sort of say, and then most of them don't say this. Most of them kind of go, oh, thank you very much. That's brilliant. I'm off. But some of them will sort of say, what are you doing this for? And we just simply say, we just want you to know how God feels about you, that actually he wants to reach out and show his love to you. And we're just here to show that to you, demonstrating it before explaining it. That's all we're talking about in terms of being a blessing to others. It's very, very simple. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to build a culture of blessing, but we're also trying to do that. And one of the ways of doing that is by doing exactly what we've been doing today, which is to tell stories of what God has done amongst us. We want to have week-by-week opportunities to share the good news stories of what it is that God has done as we see other people blessed. We want stories of healings where people miraculously see provision for their family or get out of debt or whatever it is that's going to happen. People, and this is the thing, people will start to come here, people will start to be around here if they start to say, if this, what you're doing here, is what Christianity is about, then I want more of it. That's why people will come, because they see it, they know that it's true, they know that it's real. And you might be kind of going, what, by telling a guy that his light's on in his car? Yeah. By buying another bag of shopping and taking it to your neighbor that's stuck in the house. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's really simple. It's not rocket science, but it is a choice and it is something that we're trying to do. There are opportunities that come when we're willing to give ourselves just in that act of service. So it used to be a thing in here on Fridays called the ARC, the After Care Recovery Community. And we were invited a number of years ago to kind of get involved in that work. But actually, they said to us right at the beginning, we don't want any of your Christian stuff. You can come and you can serve the soup, and you can go upstairs and you can look after the computers, but we don't want any of your Christian stuff. And we said, okay, that's fine. So for 6 months, all we did was serve the soup, play table tennis, went to the meetings, did various things, but we didn't do anything else apart from that. And you know, it was 6 months into that, and just as a result of faithfully demonstrating the love of God, that the guy sort of said, is there anything else that you could do? And they invited us to come. And we said, we would love to pray for healing for people. And they said, oh, do you do that? Yeah. I said, well, you can come and do that then. And we began to kind of build up, and that kind of started that whole ministry that we saw around ARC. And that's continued in the recovery work that we do today. And all I'm sort of saying is, often it's our willingness to humble ourselves, to serve in simple ways, that will be the release into the things that God wants to do. One of the most interesting things about the kind of work in the recovery community is the last of the 12 steps. So this is a 12-step program. This is the last step. It says this: having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all our affairs. That is exactly what I'm talking about today. That is exactly what being blessed to be a blessing is all about. And the guys in recovery, you guys who have been involved in recovery, you know this stuff, because actually it is about sharing. It's about, I have received something that is so transformative, so wonderful in my sobriety that I want to give it away. I want to help other people with it. And that's exactly what we should be doing. We should be in the things that we've received from God. It might be that sobriety is one of the things that God has given to you. But for others, it'll be other things. And what we do is, what we have received, the good things that we have received, the blessings that we have received, we want to give them away. And that, as I say, is exactly what the 12th step is all about. So, yeah, I'm not going to say any of the things in the last slide, but what I want to do is, I want to sort of say today, this is not in any sense complicated or difficult, is it? It's not confusing, but it is a choice. And it is a choice to receive from God and to be in that place of knowing your adoption as a son and daughter of the King, to stay in that place and to allow the flow of life to come through you in such a way that you don't weary yourself by good works and just by pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and never receiving. That's one of the other mistakes that people make. They just pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out, but they never actually they don't have the flow in. And so today, it might just be that actually for some of us, we are hearing this and kind of going, I need to receive from God again that love and that power. And we want to pray for that. We want to pray, you know, that today you would receive a fresh infilling of his love and of his power. Because actually, you have been pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, and you feel as though you're empty. You feel as though you're dry. And if that's you, we'd love to pray for you today. And so we're going to ask that God fills you and refreshes you again so that actually there would really be a flow. But for some of us, we're actually hearing this thing about, you know, the Red Sea, Dead Sea kind of Christian, and we realize, flip, I'm actually like a Dead Sea Christian. I've not given out anything. I'm just taking it. This is amazing. But, it actually needs an outflow if it's going to have life. Maybe today for you, that's the choice that you're going to make. You're going to sort of say, I want to be a Red Sea Christian. I actually want to receive, but I also want to give. And for us, that, you know, that might be it. And so, you know, again, we'll pray for you. We'll just ask that God would help you with that, you know. And for some, it might be that actually you've never heard that this whole relationship with Jesus, this whole Christianity thing isn't about, you know, doing your best. It's actually about receiving his love and being his child. And maybe for you today, that's actually what you need to do. Maybe you need to sort of say, I'm sorry, you know, and you need to come and sort of say, I'm sorry, I've got that wrong. I want to have the Holy Spirit in me and setting me apart as the son and the daughter of the King, because I don't want to stress anymore about, you know, this relationship. I want to just trust Jesus, because he can make this happen. So whatever it is that God's going to do with you today, you know, we're just going to invite you to do that. Band's going to come up, and we're going to just have a time of worship. And during the worship, just maybe just ask the Lord, you know, what is it you're doing with me today? What is it you want me to respond? How do you want me to respond to this word today? Because God is speaking today. And he'll be speaking to you. And so, Father, we just ask that you do that now. That by your Holy Spirit, you come and that you convince and convict us of anything that is not of you. But instead, Lord God, with your loving kindness, you come and you transform us. And you make us new. And you give us hope and faith. And so, Lord God, whether we need to have a new infilling, whether we need to become Red Sea Christians, whether we need to accept you and to know the Holy Spirit, adopting us into your family as sons and daughters, whatever it is, Lord, would you speak to us today? Come and have your way amongst us, we pray. For, Lord, we ask this in the precious, precious name of Jesus. Amen.